You don't see Timmy beating his chest as if it's the first time a human being dunked a basketball, as a lot of people do these days. He's not pointing to the sky or glamming for the cameras, he just plays. And we've seen it for so long that it becomes almost mundane, but it's so special. It has to be remembered. Welcome to the Red Rock Basketball Monster Show, brought to you by Fantrax. My name is Josh Lloyd, and if you want to follow me on Twitter and ask me any questions or interact with the show in any way, or with me in any way, you can do that by following me on Twitter at @redrock_bball. Today's episode, well, you're aware because you're not able to watch it on YouTube, it's not going out onto YouTube because this damn hotel internet connection is not reliable enough, and last time I did it I was all choppy, and then the stream lasted 15 minutes before the computer basically shit itself and refused to do it. So I'm not uploading this one as a live stream on YouTube, but you can obviously catch the podcast as you're currently doing through iTunes, through Stitcher, through TuneIn, through wherever you find podcasts. Also on redrockbasketball.com you'll find the podcast, the streamable there, and of course on Hardwood Proxism and the Hardwood Proxism Podcast Network you will find the show. I am still coming to you live from Las Vegas, so
let's get to it.
Another 3 days of Summer League in the books. This will be the last podcast that I do while I'm over here. I'm going to have a short break. What day is it today? I'm even losing track. It's Tuesday. I'll have a break for about a week and a bit. Have a bit of a holiday, or as you people in America like to say, a vacation, which we don't say in Australia. Well, maybe we do. I don't. I know I say a holiday. I'm going to have a holiday for a little bit of time, watch a couple more days of basketball, then have a bit of a break, and then I'll be back, and then I'll be getting really, really stuck into preparation for Basketball Monster Projections and a stack of great content that's coming. So after this show, there'll be about a week with no content, but I'll have some pretty exciting stuff coming, and I've got a few ideas that I'm working on in terms of Dynasty content as well as redraft stuff as well, so look forward to that. But this will be the last podcast for about a week. I would say make sure you are subscribed on iTunes, so when the podcast comes back, you know, you get it downloaded straight away, so when it is back. But just a short layoff, unless something major happens, if you know, Westbrook gets traded for LeBron or something stupid happens, there will be no podcast in the next week or so. Did I mention this show is sponsored by Fantrax? Yes, I did. Fantrax is the best place to host your fantasy league. I'm seeing a few things pop up in certain forums, especially like Reddit, asking the question, ESPN or Yahoo or Fantrax. I'm loath to go and put my comments in on there because obviously Fantrax is sponsoring the show, but even if they weren't sponsoring the show, especially if you're hosting a dynasty league, a keeper league, Fantrax is the place where you have to do it. You have every option available to you under the sun. You can do future draft pick trading. You can do three-team trades. You can do trades at any time of the year, unlike the other sites that close down, then you have to wait for them to reopen. Oh, when's it going to happen? End of August? Come on, Yahoo. When are you going to reopen the site? Well, let's just track our trades in a Google Doc. Well, that's boring. Well, why bother with that? You can just do it all straight on Fantrax. And if you've got a dynasty league and you want to get fancy with shit, which I know all you hardcore guys want to do, and institute contracts and salaries and luxury taxes and cap-cutting penalties and anything you can imagine, Fantrax will do it for you. They have the best free options out there. They have the best paid options out there as well. And you've got a treasury option as well. So if you don't want to be just sending money to your commissioner, you might not know them. You can lock it in on Fantrax in their treasurer option, and it will do automatic payouts at the end of the season. You can also set it up so that if you are running a premium league, that the premium league fee gets taken out of that treasury fund as well. All safe, all above board, and everything on. And Fantrax had a great facelift as well. So if you're not aware of Fantrax, look at it. Look at the options. Tell your league mates. And don't just suggest it, demand that you switch your league over there. And if you have to drive around to every one of their houses and egg their front door, I suggest you do it, just so you can switch your league over to Fantrax. Enough Fantrax, well, there's never enough Fantrax talk, because it is awesome, and they are a great sponsor of the podcast, but let's get into the stuff that happened on the court. There's been some really, really, really piss-poor basketball played, to be honest, but it doesn't mean we haven't been able to find things. A lot of the players who are really too good to be here aren't playing anymore, so guys like Gasaris, Emmanuel Mudiay, Devin Booker has pulled out now as well. These guys have tore it up in their one or two appearances, and they don't need to really be here anymore. Actually, I've got a question that just came through as I'm recording this. I might get to it now. Sports Freaky says, I'm interested in Dynasty Rankings. Well, I am going to have Dynasty Rankings, but I haven't got the full thing done now because all I've done at the moment is very, very rudimentary projections for the rookies, which is not, you know, I'm not happy to release those yet because they're very rudimentary. But he says, Sports Freaky says, I have number two pick. Would it be crazy to take Dunn over Ingram? No, absolutely not. Dunn, I will almost guarantee that Dunn will have a better fantasy season this season than Ingram, and I'm not sure how well Ingram's game is going to. I think it's still going to. If I had picked two, I probably will take Ingram, but Dunn will probably be more, and I'll say probably a lot there, but Dunn will probably be more productive over the first three seasons than Ingram would be. But if you want to get value from maybe season four through to eight, I think you might get Ingram wise there. So it really depends on what you want to do, but absolutely not crazy, Sports Freaky. Let's get into the games. A couple of you have started some questions already. I know Luke's got some questions about the Raptors, which we'll talk about. I've got Bugsy Mogues with some questions about the Pelicans. We have Tim with some questions about Dallas and a few other players as well. So we'll get into all those as we get into it. With first game we're going to cover. I'm not going to do it in games. Let's just talk teams. Let's talk the Bulls to start off with. So in the last 3 days, they've played two games. They have been really good. They're undefeated. They have won all three of their games. But how much is this going to translate over to the regular season? Because you're not going to see 30 minutes out of Denzel Valentine or 30 minutes out of Bob Portis or 25 out of Jaren Grant. We know what the Bulls are doing. I'll rephrase that. We know what they've done. We don't know necessarily what they're doing in a different sense of the use of the phrase doing. So these guys like Valentine and like Portis and like Grant, they're going to have, and Felicio, who's been pretty good as well. In the first game of the last 3 days, he was awesome, Felicio. He had 17, 10, and 4. He hit all eight of his shots, and he looks like a capable backup center, which is exactly what the Bulls need at this point. In the second game, he wasn't quite as good. 6 and 4 he had. He only played 12 minutes in that game, but still, he's been very impressive, and I think that he would have to be the primary backup center at this point. Bob Portis is putting up numbers, no doubt. He went 8-9 in that first game. In the second one, he was a lot better. He went 18-8 and had two steals and two blocks. The problem to me with Portis is, where is he going to get those minutes? He will not be a player who will be a top 100 player this season. I'm fairly confident in that. Just remember, Mirotić is going to start. He has to start. If Hoiberg doesn't start him, then I seriously consider Hoiberg's chops as a coach, and at this point, I don't think Hoiberg's going to last much past January this season, given the rumblings that I've heard about disharmony in the locker room. And this is before the addition of Rondo and Wade. Splits in the locker room, very much players who are supporters of Hoiberg being negative or being generally good locker room guys starting to waver on their support for Hoiberg as well. So there's a real issue with the Bulls. But Mirotić will start. Now Lopez will start. That'll be the four and the five. So Portis and Felicio are going to play the backups. But Dougie McDermott's also going to have to play some at the four as well. So Portis is not going to be able to attract enough minutes to... There's also Taj Gibson. I forgot. Taj Gibson has got to get minutes as well. So Portis is not going to get enough minutes to impact games. He's super energetic. I mentioned how intense he was the other day. He's still got a fair way to go. He's more of a dynasty league guy and a real 20-team sort of league player at this point. Valentine cannot hit a shot. He went 13-6-2 with three steals in the first game, which was against the Sixers. The next one against the Spurs, he had 15-6-3, which is all really good. But one thing we know is that scoring numbers from summer league don't translate into regular season production. You got to look at things like steals and assists and rebounds to a lesser degree as well. And it's a player we'll talk about later on who's really sort of excelling in that area. So Denzel Valentine's been good, but he looks decent. He's struggled a bit with his shooting. His defense has been a real concern as well. And it's really going to be tough to see him playing meaningful minutes this season. But his game is really fantasy friendly if he gets into a bigger role. But that might be three seasons down the track. Spencer Dinwiddie, he's looked really good. He had 14-4-4 in 21 minutes in the game against the Sixers, and then the game against the Spurs, again off the bench, he played 28 minutes and went 13-4-2. The Bulls did waive him and then re-signed him on a non-guaranteed deal. The only problem is they just signed Isaiah Cannon today, so that's going to make it hard for Dinwiddie to stick on the roster. I still think that he has potential to be a contributor as a backup point guard in this league, and really would have preferred them run Grant and Dinwiddie and Valentine some at the point rather than bring in Rajon Rondo, but you know my thoughts on that move. Dinwiddie, he's really, really right down there, but he's shown enough for me to be an interesting player. Jaren Grant, I do like Grant. I haven't liked a huge amount of what he's done here. He's put in the minutes, and nothing's really come of it, unfortunately. The Sixers, Ben Simmons in that first game against the Bulls went 18-3-2. He shot the ball well, which is something that we know. He's been criticized for not having the ability to shoot, but this is what I know about Simmons from watching him, and what I know about him from talking to people who have watched him for a very long time, is that he's never needed to rely upon his jump shot. It's not bad. It's not horrible. He doesn't take threes. He's never had to take threes. And if they sag off him, it's not the end of the world, because when he drives and gets ahead of steam, his passing opens up. Now, he hit quite a few turnaround jumpers and jumpers in the key and some decent longer range sort of shots. And there's nothing wrong with how his shot looks. I think he's going to be fine. He did struggle a bit today with 7 fouls, but went 8-8-6. Got a steal as well. He's going to be a player who is overdrafted in fantasy leagues, I'm pretty sure, but he should be a top 100 player, but not by 50 spots, which is where a lot of people will be anticipating him to be. But the assists, out-of-position assists, are going to be key if you get him at the right spot. His scoring will be low, his rebounding will be high, he will get some steals, and the field goal percentage really depends on how close he can get to the rim. But Simmons, we've seen all the highlights, he looks pretty much as advertised, but I wouldn't be put off by the people telling you that he can't shoot, because to me, it's just not true. He just doesn't shoot. That can be a concern, but he can shoot, and he's not Steph Curry, but how good a shot is LeBron if he's not within 3 feet of the rim? The answer is not good. He's not a good shot, but LeBron doesn't need to be a good shooter from out there, because he barrels over people and then makes crazy passes to open everything up, and Simmons can develop. I'm not saying he's going to be LeBron, he's not going to be LeBron, but he's got that similar ability or similar mix of skills that will enable him to succeed without a knockdown outside shot, and that it will develop as well. Jeremy Grant played in the first game, didn't play the second one, same as Source Castillo, 10-2-2 with 3 blocks in that first one, nothing to really get too excited about. And Castillo, who also known as Nick Stauskas, went 14-1-2 with 3 triples in the first game in 31 minutes. Look, Stauskas is in a lot of trouble. They brought in Gerald Henderson. They drafted Timothy Luwawu-Cabarrot, who has struggled himself. But Henderson, it looks like, will get the start, and Luwawu is coming for those minutes. So I'm not really interested. Look, I thought there was a big chance for Stauskas to have a bit of a step forward, but with the competition that's been brought in, I am a little bit concerned. Let's move on to Luwawu, who went 4-3 in that first game against the Bulls. The second game today, he was probably worse. He had 8 points, 1 rebound, 0 assists, 2 steals. Pretty decent defender. He's working on some interesting chemistry with Simmons, but he is not going to be a standard contributor for a couple of seasons. But I still do like him. I've just been a little bit put off the last couple of games of what I've seen from him. Christian Wood looked... he's looked really good. 15 minutes, 13-6 with a steal and a block in that first one. In today's game, he was way more impressive. He had 22 points in 28 minutes. He had 5 rebounds. He had 2 block shots. He has a real issue mentally, head case-wise, and that's something that he needs to get straightened out. But he hit 2 threes today. He is a guy that, if he gets it straightened out, and it's real tough on this Sixers team in terms of big man minutes, but Christian Wood has got a lot of ability. And he is a player that if your Dynasty League goes 300 deep, he doesn't even have a team at the moment. But if it works out, there is legitimate top 100 potential for Christian Wood. It's a very, very long shot. But sometimes getting someone for free and the long shot turns out to be a top 100 player, it's pretty bloody valuable. Rashawn Holmes as well is another guy who can be a really, really key fantasy contributor, but he's stuck. And he's stuck behind Okafor and Embiid and Saric and Simmons and Noel. And that's the problem. Although I do get the feeling that Noel might be on the move. Okafor arrived today and he was watching courtside with Joel Embiid. Actually, Jill Okafor stayed back after everything was done to watch the media shoot around today. Hey, and guess what? Your boy won a $100 gift card for hitting a half-court shot. So I'm pretty happy with that. So yeah, There was three contests today at the media shoot-around, and the Aussies won two of the three. So we're representing. We're definitely outnumbered. I think there was only three of us there, but we won two of the three contests. So I hit a half-court shot. Just a subtle celebration, very Tim Duncan-like, just the one finger in the air, but walked away with a $100 gift card. So looking to buy. Hey, also that's the thing. I'll take your suggestions. I'm going to buy some shoes of them. What shoes should I buy? What I'm currently leaning towards is the Kobe Charlotte Hornets. If you don't know what they are, just type in Kobe Hornets, Nike Kobe Hornets. I think Kobe 8s or 9s. I can't remember whatever the latest ones are. That's what I'm leaning towards. But if you have another suggestion for a pair of shoes that I buy with my winnings, let me know. All right, that's that. Those two teams. Knocked off. I don't think there's much more to talk about there with the Sixers. TJ McConnell, he looks okay. Now, the Sixers' point guard rotation at the moment is Jared Bayless, TJ McConnell, and Sergio Rodriguez. I would put money at the moment on Jared Bayless being the starter because he will hit threes and he will be able to defer to Simmons. McConnell, not quite that guy, but really handy backup point guard. I think that's what he can become. And Rodriguez, don't underrate Rodriguez. TJ McConnell, not going to be a standard league guy at this point. Unless we just hear they're going to run with him as a starter, I just don't see that being the case. Move on to the Bucks. Rashad Vaughn, in that first game against the D-League Select team, had 24 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, and 3 triples. Had his shot going and looked pretty good. I am not really the biggest Rashad Vaughn fan. In the second game, he went 16-3-2 with 2 steals and 2 triples, but shot a horrible 4 of 17. If he doesn't shoot, I don't see what he offers. And that's what happened in the second game. The shot was off. He had 16 points, but 17 shots. It's not a good return, as many of the players provide me. He's a second-year guy. I'm not big into Rashad Vaughn. If someone offers me something for him in a dynasty, I'm definitely taking it. He had an opportunity, and it didn't work out for him, I don't think. Malcolm Brogdon, though, has looked really good, and I think Brogdon's a guy that can crack serious rotation minutes. 14-4-4 in the first game. In the second game against the Grizzlies, he went 15-2-5. Pesky defender, handles the ball, plays at point guard, dishes dimes, really good defender. Super bloke, really friendly guy, intelligent, switched on, humble. I really like this guy. I think he's going to play as a backup sort of to Dellavedova and be that guy who hits threes and plays rugged defense while Giannis has the ball in his hand. But I think that Brogdon can make a serious impact in his first season and could easily be the highest ranking rookie on this team ahead of Thon Maker, who had a double-double. 10 points and 10 fouls in that second game. And that's not good. I'm aware of that. He had a steal and a block as well, but in the other game he went 17-17 with 2 blocks. He's super energetic. He is a really good rebounder. He's long. He can block shots. He started knocking down some threes as well. He hit that 1-3 in each of those 2 second games. Obviously Jabari Parker is the starting power forward. Thon as a center with Munro, Henson, Miles Plumlee potentially still there. It's going to be tough for him to get minutes, but I think what we've seen from Maker so far throughout this tournament makes you think that this guy's got a lot of potential, and I wouldn't, the fact that he can rebound, he can score, he can block shots, he can get steals, and he can hit threes, and he can hit free throws, means that if it comes together into a pretty decent package, and if he's trusted enough to get close to 30 minutes, then he will be a real fantasy contributor and a guy that could have a couple of top 60 seasons. It's a bit of a punt, but you'll be able to get him outside the top 10 in dynasty drafts comfortably, maybe even outside the top 20, and what he's shown has been enough to me and to everyone I've spoken to. Ooh, Thon's all right. Thon's legit. So don't be too scared off from Thon Maker. Not much else really on the Bucks to talk about. Josh Smith, not Josh Smith of jacking up shots fame. Josh Smith as of 350-pound Josh Smith, who's actually lost a bit of weight. He's really good. He's just too big. He's too unathletic really to be, but he's super talented. So if I know he's lost 50 pounds, if he can lose another 50, maybe that takes away some of his advantage, but he could potentially find some playing time. D-League Select team, it hasn't been really anything that's got me too excited by looking at the guys on that team, so not really much to cover with them. Let's look at the Spurs. Kyle Anderson only played the first one, 23-4-2. He's way too good for this. He's never going to get a big role in San Antonio because he plays the same position as Kawhi Leonard. But when it comes to his restricted free agency, which is coming up in a couple of seasons' time, he could very well be a starter on a team and put together serious fantasy numbers. So he is a buy low opportunity guy to me. John Simmons scored 16 in the first game. He's a player, we know his story, came out of Summer League last season and turned it up. a couple of notches. He is going to be, I think he's going to be a decent contributor, probably never a great contributor, but when Ginobili retires after this season, I think we'll see some more out of Simmons, and he'll become maybe not a starting two, but a guy that can play 20 to 24 minutes off the bench and be a worthwhile contributor. He scored 16 in the game against the Blazers. Then today against the Bulls, he dropped 22 points and had three assists. I think that I think Simmons has shown that he can hang as a backup. Deontay Murray, the shot is really, really not good. It is going to take a lot of time. He was 2 of 10 in today's game. In the game on Sunday, he was almost as bad. Well, he was worse. He was 3 of 13. He went 8 and 7 in that game. Today, he was not ideal. He went 4, 3 and 1. Two steals. It's going to take a very long time. You know, Tony Parker might have 2 years left. Paddy Mills is not a starting point guard. Maybe they can develop Murray into it. I really don't have huge hopes for him, personally. I think he's just a little bit out of control to really be a starting point guard. Livio Jean-Charles arrived today, and he played. He is a defensive player. He had 2 steals and a block. He also had 2 points and 2 rebounds. So he'll get your defensive numbers, but he's never going to be able to play big enough minutes, I don't think, at this point to really be a contributor. And offensively, he is a real concern. But it's good to see him over there, and he will be on the roster this season. Portland, Noel Vonleh, 16 and 12. 16 and 12, cool. But I don't know. It's his third season. He should be like tearing these blokes apart, and he's not. Today's game, 10 and 10 with 3 assists and 2 blocks. Yeah, they're fine, but it took him 36 minutes to get to that. I don't buy into Vonleh at all. The playing time won't be there. He shouldn't be starting for this team. Maybe they go back to Myers Leonard. Maybe they bring Mo Harkless back. They probably should start Al-Farouq Aminu. There are way too many options in Portland. Vonleh is showing absolutely nothing to me that makes me think he is too good for this. And therefore, if you're in your third season and you are not too good for this competition, then you are not an NBA starter, and you will not be a fantasy asset moving forward. So, to Vonleh. Pat Connaughton hit a game-winning sudden-death overtime three in today's game. He's been okay. He is ridiculously athletic. 9-7 in the first game. In the second game, he had a much better performance, 19 points. But again, with the Blazers bringing back guys like Alan Crabb, adding Evan Turner, the minutes just aren't going to be there. So, nothing. He's not really showing out. Shabazz Napier not doing much. Luis Montero really struggling at the moment. Just some really bad decisions, poorly timed fouls. Had 9 points today in his 31 minutes. That's not a great return. And in the first game, had just 6 points in 26 minutes. Not really liking what I'm seeing from Luis Montero. On to the Atlanta Hawks. Lamar Patterson had 16, 4, and 6 in the first game and then got waived because the Hawks have got to find room to sign both Bembry and Taurean Prince. Patterson's done. Eddie Tavares, 10 and 5 with 4 blocks in the first game. That's obviously a pretty impressive performance. No two ways about that for Eddie. If we look at the other game that the Hawks had, he went 4 and 8 with 5 blocks. That's 9 blocks over the last 2 games. That's what he can do. He can block shots. He can get rebounds. His offense is really terrible. He is like a weak version of Rudy Gobert. He could develop into a guy like a Rudy Gobert, but remember, there's Dwight Howard there in front of him, and it's going to take a couple of seasons. But block specialist, Eddie should be forced into some more minutes. It depends on Thiago Splitter's health. There's also Mike Muscala there as another option, but Tavares is a real issue, a real handful around the rim with his ability to block shots. Taurean Prince didn't play in the first game of these three that I'm talking about, but in the second game, he did. He made his debut. Had 10 and 2. He had 4 steals. He's really long. The comparison between him and Bembry is a small forward. Their body types are just so completely different. So it's weird to me. Prince can potentially play a little bit of the four. Yeah, hard to judge from one game. And I didn't see the whole game of that one either against the Nets. So hard to get a full read on what Taurean Prince can bring. I really do like Bembry. His defense, I think, might be a little bit of a concern, but 7-6-7 in the first game in 26 minutes, 9-2-3 with 2 steals. He's going to be an across-the-board contributor, and maybe he works into a role, but they obviously have Kent Bazemore in his spot, but Bazemore's probably more a natural 2, and then they can move Bembry to 3 when Kyle Korver either drops off completely or retires. So Bembry's a guy to watch. I think he's probably going to be a more interesting fantasy asset than what Taurean Prince does. He's just because of his ability to contribute in the assist category. So if you're drafting, I do like Bembry ahead of Prince in that sort of situation, but we're not going to get much of a contribution early on from him, I wouldn't have thought. Next, let's talk about the Washington Wizards. Seriously, there's really not a lot to talk about with these guys. Kelly Oubre, 21 points with 2 assists and 2 steals. That's not a great return. He's been decent-ish, but nothing that really gets me excited. Although, scouts' opinions of him are still pretty high. He had 16-6-3 in the second game as well. Got a steal, got a block, but he's so much better than all his teammates as well. So that's another thing that you definitely you have to consider when you're looking at the way that he is playing. Michael Eric has been solid, 20-8 with 2 steals and a block in the first game. In the second one, not as quite as good, 5-6, but still had 2 blocks. So defensively, he's doing a pretty good job. And Jarrell Eddie been decent as well. And Eddie could find himself onto a roster. He had 19 points with 4 rebounds and 3 triples in the first game. In the second game, he went 16-3-1 and hit 2 triples in that as well. So he could find himself either on this roster or on a roster of a different team. Sheldon McClellan really hasn't shown a huge amount, much less than what I was hoping from him. Eddie has definitely been more impressive than him, and he's maybe a guy to just pay attention to as we move forward. Maybe I should go back to the Hawks, actually. Isaiah Cordinier, who just looks like a blonde DeAndre Bembry, just another guy with a big afro. He's a crazy athlete. Hasn't really impressed too much with his ability to play, which is a concern. But he's still a really good athlete. But he won't be signed this season, and he might take a while to come over. But super, super athletic. Not much to talk about, yeah, really, with the Wizards apart from that Eddie, Eric, and Oubre. The Phoenix Suns. Let's start with Dragon Bender.
Fight my shiny metal ass.
In the first game, he had 3 points. He had a triple one. He had 4 rebounds. He shot the ball poorly. I'm sure you're going, that's great. You just wanted to say Dragon Bender so you could play this.
Fight my shiny metal ass.
And partially I did. But yeah, he's been... I've been really impressed. The second game, 9-4 with a steal. He hit 3 triples though. He played 31 minutes. It's really tough for big men to have big, impactful stat lines as rookies in Summer League, because the guards are gunning. Especially the guards not on rosters, they're gunning. They're trying to get their shots up. Bender moves really, really well. I think he's a top 4 or 5 pick in a dynasty if you're going a longer build. He can be... I know he's not Kristaps Porzingis, but he can be a better offensive version, a worse defensive version, but a better offensive version, a better three-point shooter. He moves well. He can handle the ball. He can dribble. He can pass. I think he's been really, really impressive, and can't wait to see him in a couple of seasons' time. Now, the Suns have come out and said that Jared Dudley will be their starting power forward, so that's going to put Bender and Chris in a real tight squeeze for minutes. Bender's been playing some of the 3 here. That's not going to work out long term. Chris, I think, can play the 5. Not sure if Bender can play the 5. Maybe he can. I think defensively he'll get his limitations shown up, but he has been really impressive, and I think that the Suns they should be impressed with that pick. Marquise Chris is a guy that is just loose. He's super young. When you look at him, he looks like he's 14 years old. He had 15-14 in the first game with 2 blocks, which is obviously a tremendous performance. In the next one, he went 11-7, did have 5 turnovers in that one, but I think that he could be one of these guys. Most likely they both don't work out. If I had to put money on it, I'd put it on Bender at this point, but Chris has still been impressive enough. He's obviously got the athleticism. Rebounding has been a concern for him through college. He needs to work on a few aspects of his game. He's nowhere near the shooter that what Bender can be. He doesn't have quite the same feel, but he's able to make up for mistakes with his athleticism. But I think that he's shown enough, not enough for me to think that he's going to be a real handy fantasy contributor anytime soon. Devin Booker, we know he's too good. 24-2-7 in the first game. Sat out after that. Cool. Tyler Ulis has been spectacularly good. 31 minutes in the first one. 10-4-5 with 6 steals. In the second game, he started in place of Booker. He went 16 with 7 assists, had 5 steals. Well, had 5 at halftime. So he has racked up 11 steals in the last 2 games. I think he's had 19 assists and 2 turnovers through the 3 games. He is a money shooter when he gets to the top of the key on pull-ups, on dribbles. He'll dribble in, stop, pull up, and that's his shot. Bangs it in. He can hit threes. His defense has been fantastic. This is something that I heard from a scout today, that he is the best player here. The problem is that his body, and it's probably never going to allow him to be a starter, but it will mean that he is going to be a player who plays 10 plus years as a backup point guard in the league. And maybe he starts for some teams. Maybe he can get a couple of years as a starter. And when he does, he is going to put up stats. He will get rack up assists. He will rack up steals. And those numbers from Summer League, they do translate to fantasy production, and they do translate to real NBA production as well. And he is just super smart, great defender, pesky, good passer, good shooter, just a really, really superb player. And one of the best players in this draft, who's just not going to get an opportunity because he's going to be able to get bashed up pretty easily. So Tyler Ulis, we know that the Suns are considering trades for Bledsoe and Knight, and allowing them to start either one of those guys in Booker, and that allows Ulis to be the backup point guard. And I think that by the trade deadline, we'll be in that situation where Ulis will be getting 20 minutes a night, and that might be the tops of what he does in his career, maybe 22, 23, because he obviously can't play any other position apart from point guard, so he's limited in that sort of sense. But yeah, he could play alongside Bledsoe and put Bledsoe at the 2 for a few minutes, and obviously play alongside Booker. That's not a concern. But the fantasy-wise, it's going to be tough for him to ever find himself in a 30-minute-a-night role, given his unique restrictions. The Boston Celtics. Gershon Yabusele. He's becoming quite the cult figure. There was someone in the crowd today with a homemade Yabusele jersey. He had a... It's just a white t-shirt with a sticker across the back with Yabusele's name on it. Now, I didn't see him play today. I did watch him play the game on Sunday. I think Sunday was the day. And the stat line today wasn't that impressive. 4 points, 5 rebounds, 2 steals and a block, though. But he only played 18 minutes. The other day, though, he was good. 7 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks. Didn't shoot the ball much, but 3 or 4. And just looks smart. And I think that the way that he's developing is part of the reason that Jared Sullinger was let go, and I'll talk about that when I get to the Raptors soon. That Yabusele, he'll play the majority of the season probably at Maine, but with Sullinger gone, with Tyler Zeller potentially gone, yeah, you got Al Horford, you got Amir Johnson, you got Jonashi Repko, you got Kelly Olynyk there still, so it's going to be hard for Yabusele to get some minutes. But moving forward, I think he can be a player who probably is not a starter, but will be, you know, a chance to be a first big off the bench sort of guy. He's shown quite a bit today, well, so far at Summer League. The other guy who's been impressive is that one of the Celtics' late-round picks, Abdel Nader, who went 13-6 in the first game that I'm looking at here. Today's game, again, I didn't watch it, but he had 10 points in just 11 minutes. The points, again, they don't translate well from here, but he's shown an ability to get to the rack. He's rebounding pretty well. He's probably going to be a D-League guy, but he's shown that he's not going to be out of place as a defender. RJ Hunter, 17 points, 4 triples, 2 steals and a block. I'm still not overly sold on RJ. He only had 8 points in today's game, went 1 of 5, had 4 rebounds, 4 assists. The guy that has been impressive, or really impressive, is Terry Rozier, who, me included, really bagged him a bit when, well, not necessarily him, bagged the pick. He didn't play the first game, but in today's game, he was back at it. 26 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 steals. He looks like a player who could make someone expendable in a trade, whether that's Avery Bradley, whether that's Isaiah Thomas, whether that's Marcus Smart. Rozier is coming for minutes. He's going to have to get more of them, and he played superbly in the playoffs. Remember that when Avery Bradley went down, Rozier was the guy getting those minutes, and Evan Turner's gone. So someone's going to have to get Evan Turner's minutes. Now, some of that will go to Marcus Smart, but Rozier is going to get some of those minutes. So deeper league people, pay attention. He went to the line 18 times today, Rozier, had 14 points, and was the class of this game where they played against the Dallas Mavericks. There's no chance of him being a standard league guy this season, but injuries happen, and when he gets on the court, if he's forced into a role, depending on their depth, of 30 minutes or so, He can produce. He looks like he's a completely different player than what we saw at this time last year in Summer League, and that's obviously a good thing. That's what these players should be doing at this point. Jaylen Brown, I'm sure you don't want me to hear me talk about Jaylen Brown. 5-4-3 in the first game, 2 steals and 2 blocks. He's insanely athletic, just some crazy dunks, and today he got to the line 17 times. He went 20-10. He had 4 steals and a block. He'll take some of Evan Turner's minutes also, along with Rozier. So he's gonna play some there. He won't play more than 25 minutes a night, I wouldn't think, at this point. His shot is still a concern. His athleticism is crazy. Getting to the rim is really encouraging, and that's something that marginally translates as well. He does need to work on that shot quite a bit, though. But the 4 steals, the 1 block, that's really encouraging for Jaylen Brown, and Celtics fans shouldn't feel as disappointed as what they did when the pick was first made. I still would have gone Bender, and Bender still has been more impressive to me, as has Jamal Murray, as has Chris Dunn, but Brown has been more impressive than, say, Buddy Hield. And it's a play that's probably going to take a couple of years to come off with Jaylen, but he definitely hasn't been horrific. Demetrius Jackson hasn't shown a huge amount. Ben Bentel's been pretty disappointing as well. Let's talk Timberwolves. Chris Dunn, the first game was superb. Again, 220-point performances. He's had 21-9-4, a steal and a block. Sat out the second one with a concussion. He looks really good. He is going to play minutes at the 1 and at the 2. And if Rubio goes, it's all aboard the Dunn train. He will be drafted in fantasy leagues. He'll probably be overdrafted, but you might have to do that if you desperately want him. I think that he'll be able to retain top 150 value for the first couple of months, and then probably top 110 value for the second half of the season. That would be my initial guess. His shot is still a worry. His free throws are still a worry, and that, you know, that translates to his outside shooting. And if they take away his ability and his overpoweringness, which again is something that I was concerned about with him in college, that he was so much older and stronger than these guys that he bullied them around, that's the concern I'm seeing with him here at Summer League as well. Especially with the outside shot not falling. But he's got the ability to turn on some pretty big performances. You know, good defensively. He's not going to overtake Rubio this season. Don't think that. He's not going to start over Zach LaVine. That's not happening. But he will be that guy that you'd say he's pretty much already overtaken Tyus Jones as the backup point guard in Minnesota. Now, Jones was okay. 18-3-4 with 2 threes and 2 steals. That's not horrible. It's not brilliant, but I would say it's still fairly decent. That's the first game. The second game, 15-2-3 without Chris Dunn, hit 3 triples, and I still believe in Tyus Jones. I still think that he can be a decent backup point guard, and it's probably going to have to take a Rubio or a Dunn trade at this point for that to open up, and that could very well happen. But he, at this point, he's just a hold-on-to guy in the deeper sort of formats. Who else have we got to talk about? Let's talk about Adrian Payne. I'll say one thing, terrible. Not NBA relevant, not NBA caliber. Forget about it. Toronto Raptors. We did have a question about the Toronto Raptors from, who was it from? Luke. He says, I want to talk about the Raptors' confusing potential big man situation. Okay, Sullinger's starting. That's my understanding. Sullinger is starting. Valanciunas is the backup center. No, sorry. Try again. Sullinger at the 4, Valanciunas at the 5. Patrick Patterson is the backup 4. Bebe is the backup 5. Jakob Poeltl, maybe he goes ahead of Bebe. I don't know at this point, but I still think that Bebe is the better backup center there. To me, that's how the front court works. Pascal Siakam comes in as the third big man. Now, we saw him for half a game here so far, Siakam. Now, he wanted to know about him. He got injured. Hasn't played again, but he looked good when he played. Norm Powell, awesome. To me, Powell, and I said this at the start of last season, if they let DeRozan go, Powell will slot in as the starting shooting guard. If there's an injury to DeRozan, or if there's an injury to Damari Carroll, or, to be honest, and I've harbored this thought for a while, I think I've mentioned it, I'm not convinced Carroll's good. I'm convinced that 30 to 40% of Carroll's goodness, and I know that's not a real word in this sense, came from playing in Atlanta. He was shit last season. Yes, he hurt his knee. He was also shit before he hurt his knee. He was shit after he hurt his knee as well. Not convinced he's good. So, Normie, I like him as a dynasty target. 29-8-3 he had in the second game. He's too good to be here. Another one of those players. It's just, he was too good. And for a guy that was picked with the 46th pick, that's a pretty impressive performance to be too good. The second game, 23-3-2, he's too good. He's comfortably the backup 2. He's the He's the backup three as well, ahead of Bruno, no doubt. Raptors fans have got a really good young player on their hands, and you know, just sliding DeRozan to the three and putting Powell at the two, not a horrible decision. Now, Powell did struggle a little bit in the playoffs last year, but he's going to find himself in a pretty comfortable 20 to 22 minute role early on, I would think, you know, from my early look at it, and I think they should be pretty impressed with what he'll bring. Bruno hasn't been great. Bruno Caboclo, he went 15-2-1. He did have two blocks, and that's where his real ability comes in, as being a shot blocker from the three. 12-5-1 with three steals in the second game. So defensive stats will come. His scoring's been okay, but this is his third season, remember. He's not showing a huge amount. I think we're going to see more D-League action from Bruno, but you can get him pretty cheap in dynasties, and maybe he turns into a top 200 guy at some point. Jakob Poeltl has just been super efficient in finishing. I think he's missed one shot while he's been here. 6-5 in that first game with three blocks. In the second game, he went 9-7 with a steal and a block. Maybe he does get the backup role over Bebe. I do think Bebe is a better player at this point, but Poeltl is a solid guy. He's a good scorer. He can stretch the floor a little bit, not a huge amount, but a little bit. Yeah, shot blocking's okay. The defense overall is not ideal, but he is a decent guy to have a look at long term. I just don't have a huge amount of faith in him ever becoming a real starting quality caliber player. Fred VanVleet has looked really good for this team as a backup point guard at Wichita State. They've got Corey Joseph, they've got DeLon Wright, who's been impressive as well, DeLon Wright. So it's going to be hard for them to find a roster spot for VanVleet, but he's been impressive enough that some team might be able to offer it, or he ends up at the Raptors D-League squad. But Fred VanVleet, don't be surprised to see him playing in some NBA games next season. The next team, where are we? Houston Rockets. Sam Dekker is being legit good, and this is what Noah Vonleh should be doing. Dekker went 19-7 in the first game, and he's showing off what he can do. Now, to me, he's not a three. He's too big. He's a little bit slow to be a three, but 11-3-6 in the second game. He's hitting threes. He's scoring in other ways. He's rebounding. He's passing. He's been impressive to me. He is going to be in the rotation behind Ryan Anderson. Montrezl Harrell has also been okay, but I think Dekker's been more impressive. 14-6 for Harrell in the first one, and then he went 18-8 with two steals in the second one. Not quite as impressed with Harrell as I have been with Dekker. KJ McDaniels, the old Philadelphia 76ers box score stuffer, he's been added here. 10-4-3 with three steals and three blocks, and in the next game, 15-7-1 with one steal and three blocks. So that's four steals and six blocks in the last two games. But how does McDaniels find a big enough role? They've brought in Eric Gordon. There's Trevor Reza over on the wing as well. Maybe he just slides in as the backup three. They'd want to start to show him a little bit more respect. The defensive stats are going to be there if he plays. We know that. But I'm just not sure if McDaniels gets enough of a role to have an impact in fantasy while he's on this team. I think he's only got one or two more years left of his contract. He signed a four-year deal with Philly before he was traded. I'm just not sure. The defensive numbers have been there, but he struggles offensively so much, and I think that's part of the concern as well. And maybe Mike D'Antoni's offense really does help him in that sense. Chinono Onwuaku has been disappointing. I thought that he had a real chance to carve out a solid role. He's going to be well behind Nene in the rotation at this point. And Gary Payton II is dealing with a sports hernia issue, which he's going to have surgery for, which is unfortunate. He's signed. I don't know if it's a guaranteed deal, though, so I'm not sure if Payton will stick the entire season, but he's going to be having surgery. Onto the Kings, we saw the debut of Georgios Papagiannis. He looks fat, he looked slow. Everything I've heard of is that the teams really do think he's going to become something special at some point, but it's going to be a very long time in the future, so don't be wasting a huge draft pick on it. Maybe 3 years and then he becomes a decent player, because obviously Cauley Stein and Cousins are still there, and Costa Kufos. It's going to take a while. Scala Bissier has looked really good as well in stretches, 4-5 in the first game. The second game, He was a lot better. I'm just bringing up those stats. He was a lot better in that second game. He went 16-6 with two triples. It's going to take time. This is not the greatest opportunity for him to develop playing for this team, unfortunately, and given their coaching issues. But he is a decent player who could play next to Boogie pretty comfortably. So I think the pick of Scal was great at that point. Now, we've got to hope that he develops, but he's shown enough flashes here. Jared Uthoff, one of the best shot blockers in college basketball, had a great game on the second day on Monday, where he went 6-4 but had three steals and three blocks. He's not going to make a team somewhere, but if Uthoff does make a team, blocks will come, and that's the sort of guy he is. Malachi Richardson wasn't a big fan heading into this of Richardson. He's done nothing to change my mind. He'd have 20 points in the first game, 20 and 7 rebounds with 3 triples, and then reverted back to 7, 4 and 2 with 2 steals on a pretty pedestrian 2 of 12 shooting performance. Not a massive Richardson fan. Arturas Gudaitis is huge. Willie Cauley-Stein has been extremely disappointing. We don't know how Dave Yeager's wanting to run that situation, but we might find Rudy Gay and Omri Caspi playing the four and Cauley-Stein relegated to being a backup five, and that really impacts his value. He was a guy at the end of the season that you had to own in a lot of situations. Not sure it's going to be the case to start the season. He's definitely not going to be a top 100 guy. I'm not sure that Yeager goes with the situation of starting him at power forward to start the season. In fact, at this point, I'd be a little surprised given how sort of poorly he's played here when he should be able to sort of tear these guys apart to a degree. It just really hasn't happened for him. Bud Heald. He's getting points. In the first game, he had 21 of them. He hit 5 threes. He took 20 shots to do it. The second game, he had 23 points. Had 3 threes. Took 23 shots to do it. At super poor efficiency. 21, 7, and 2, yeah, some nice numbers. 23, 7, and 5 with 3 steals, again, nice numbers. Good fantasy stats. Efficiency, not there. He'll be a player that's drafted in the top 100, and I don't really think I'm going to have a problem with that. I just don't really see this guy being a successful NBA player to a degree where he has multiple top 50 seasons. I think he'll have multiple top 100 seasons, I'm not sure Buddy is ever more than a sixth man on a good team, though. I think that he's just a step slow at this point. He struggles to create enough separation to get his shots to go in. He goes missing for a lot. And again, it is relatively common for rookies in summer league. But I think that the Pelicans have made a mistake picking him over Jamal Murray. And I think they made a mistake picking him over Marquese Chris, to be honest. I would have let him slide down to 8. That would have been, and even then, might not have let him go there. I think he's probably the 10th best player in this group. He's going to have an opportunity, though, to play 30-plus minutes, unless they go Etuan Moore or Langston Galloway at the starting two, probably more. But I think that Heald is going to be given every opportunity to play 30-ish minutes, maybe 28, 29. And that'll translate to fantasy stats. But it won't translate to good basketball play. Sheik Diallo, I really like this kid. In the first game, he went 12 and 11 with 4 blocks, hit both his free throws, 5 of 7 from the field. In the second game, he went 5 and 7 but had a steal and a block in 27 minutes. Diallo is a guy that, if you're willing to take a 0 for the first 3 months of the season, which it probably will be, it could work out for you at the end of the season, because ahead of him is Omer Asik and Alexey Ajinsa. I really like Ajinsa. Pelicans don't. I don't like Asik. Pelicans don't either. Diallo's been impressive. He has got an immense amount of talent. I think he was the McDonald's All-American Game MVP, if I'm not mistaken. Buried at Kansas. Just an insane amount of talent for Sheik. In a dynasty league, he's up pretty high to me. He is he's definitely a top 15 guy to me in out of rookies in dynasty. He blocks shots, he rebounds, he shoots good percentages, he can get steals, he can score a little bit. He hit a 3 in yesterday's game. Just don't discount Sheik Diallo, one of my more impressive players whilst I've been here. The Utah Jazz. Trey Lyles is good. He's good. He's really good. He sat out the game on Sunday. He played the game today, and that game was just a crazy game, by the way. I don't need to recap the whole game, but it was crazy. The Jazz lost in that double overtime game. But Lyles scored 30. He had 9 rebounds. He had an assist. He hit 5 3-pointers. I said it to you last year. This guy is super good, and he's going to be an awesome fantasy guy. You need to get your hands on him. He will have multiple top 70 seasons, Trey Lyles. Now, I spoke to a couple of Jazz guys today, Tony Jones and Jody Genesee, about this team, and they're super pumped, and they are super high. The expectations are high, and they help clarify a few things to me with starting lineups and the rotations of this team. So there's concerns amongst people about what the Jazz are doing. This is what they're doing. George Hill is starting. Rod Hood is starting next to him. Gordon Hayward is starting at the 3, Derek Favors at the 4, and Rudy Gobert at the 5. So Hood is the starter. Dante Exum is the first guard off the bench. Joe Johnson is going to play. He won't play the 2, Joe Johnson. That'll be between Hood and Burks. Exum will also play alongside George Hill. Joe Johnson is a backup 3 and backup 4. So he plays behind Gordon Hayward, and he'll play behind Favors. And he'll probably close some games as well. The first big off the bench, though, is Trey Lyles. So Lyles comes off the bench first. He comes off before Diao. He comes off before Johnson. He comes off, and he's irrepressible, basically, at the moment. At some point, the Jazz are going to get too big for their britches in terms of having to pay everyone. So Gobert may go. He's extension eligible into this season. Favors is, I think, got 2 years left on his deal. I'd feel pretty comfortable about trading one of those guys if I get some assets or, you know, a good return, because I know that Trey Lyles can step in and, mate, probably not this season because you are really pushing for a high seed, but maybe you could trade for next season when Lyles is going to be bursting at the seams, ready to be a starter and ready to tear things down. He's that good. He can pass, he can hit threes, he rebounds, he scores, he's efficient. Trey Lyles has been super impressive, and everyone I've spoken to really loves what he can do. He was miscast at Kentucky. He's going to be a star in this league, and so will Rod Hood. Lyles, though, probably has a little bit more upside than Hood, to be honest. He is just really interesting. None of the second-round guys are going to make the roster. Joel Bolenboy, Ty Wallace, and Marcus Page, and Tibble Police really in trouble of sticking on the roster as well. Jeff Withey will probably get his roster spot, according to those guys that I spoke to today. Let's have a look at any other teams that I haven't covered. The Dallas Mavericks. AJ Hammonds looks okay. He doesn't look super, but I think he looks solid. Now, the Mavericks have got Salah Mejri as their backup center. I think Mejri will be the backup. I think Hammonds will have to be the third guy. That's how I'm looking at it at this point, because I know, Tim, you were asking a question about AJ Hammonds. You've been a massive AJ Hammonds fan pretty much all draft process. 6-5 in the first game in 19 minutes. And in today's performance, which I didn't see him play, in today's game, he had 6 points with 3 boards and 2 assists. He's looked okay. He hasn't looked spectacular. He's a third center at this moment. I really love Justin Anderson. You know I love him. I loved him last season. 10-6-3 in the first one, but today's game he exploded, went 29-11, had a steal. He hit 6 triples in today's game. He really stepped it up down the stretch last season as well. You know, he's going to play behind the pencil, but the pencil can play at the 4 as well to spell Dirk. So Anderson, I think, should be looking at a rotational role of 20-so minutes. And I think that he can force his way to become a starter in the next 2 seasons, would be my guess. He might play the 2. Wes Matthews will be getting a little bit older. They might move the pencil to the 4. Anderson is, you know, I think he's really starting to turn into a really solid player. Jonathan Gibson, a guy that they've got there, has been scoring pretty well. Had 26 today, just 10 on Monday, but still impressive. And Dorian Finney-Smith, who they signed to a 3-year deal, didn't do a huge amount in the games that I watched. In fact, he had 0 points in the game that I watched in 27 minutes. That's not great. Today's game, 0 points also. Not the greatest showing from Finney-Smith. Not much else to really report on the Mavericks. Perry Ellis is not doing a lot to get me pumped either. The Brooklyn Nets. Watch them today, watch them a little bit on Monday as well. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson. Defense is great. Offense is just, it is yuck. 8 points, but 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals in yesterday's game. Today's game, again, he just so struggles offensively, but 7 boards, he had 2 steals. He's going to rack up rebounds. He's going to rack up steals. He'll block some shots. I think he's got a chance to be a top 100 guy this year because he's just going to have to get a stack of minutes. But offensively, he's going to be hard to own. I tweeted this out today. I think that Chris McCullough will be... Sorry, I got Hollis Jefferson's stats wrongly. He had 19 points today, so that's a better performance. 19 points with seven boards, 2 steals. You know, a good offensive showing. Chris McCullough. Trevor Booker is the presumptive starter at power forward. I don't think it's long before McCullough gets the job. 16-8 in Monday's game. Today's game, another 10 points with 3 rebounds, 2 assists. He can hit the 3 a bit. He looks bouncy. There's no one else. Louis Scola they signed today, but who cares? Yeah, McCullough is coming off an ACL injury. He would have gone 10, 12 spots higher if he didn't have that ACL injury in the draft, which I think is dumb planning from a lot of those teams to let him slide that far. But anyway, McCullough could be the starting power forward. Probably not, definitely not opening night at this point. But given what this team has got, given what they're working towards, he's going to get 20 plus minutes. And he could realistically be starting by February. Dynasty leaguers, pay attention to Chris McCullough. I've got him in a dynasty league that I co-own with Mark Roberts. We're pretty excited about what he can bring. And I think that this is going to be a season where people go, who's this guy? Oh, Chris McCullough. Yeah, I remember him. I think you're going to see a little bit of that from him, and I'm excited. Isaiah Whitehead's been solid. Sean Kilpatrick is doing exactly what he does in the season. He scores. He didn't play in today's game, but played yesterday, and he scored. That's what he does. And Whitehead, 10 points today. He's a scorer. He doesn't do much else. Mokavicius, not showing anything that's getting me too excited. I just really wanted to say the name Mokavicius. Talk Sacramento, talk New Orleans. Pat McCaw. This guy's going to have a role. They lost Brandon Rush. They lost Leandro Barbosa. They lost, obviously, Harrison Barnes. But Durant takes that spot. Pat McCaw. When a team goes and buys a second-round draft choice and pays money for it, that team knows something, and that team desperately wants this player. The Lakers purchased a second-round draft choice off the Wizards 2 years ago so they could get Jordan Clarkson. They know. The Warriors purchased this draft choice. I think it was off the Blazers, but I'm not sure about that. They purchased this draft choice, and they got Pat McCaw, and he's going to be good. He had, in yesterday's game, McCaw had 13 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, and 4 steals. In today's game, he had 11 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, and 2 steals. His defense is superb. He was playing some of the tightest defense I've seen at this tournament. He's quick. He is also as thin as your little finger. He is that tiny. He is going to get smashed. If he would struggle to weigh 160 pounds, I would reckon. He is tiny. But as a perimeter defender, he is going to come in, Tony Allen style, play 15 minutes and get 2 steals. And he can handle the ball. He can dribble it a bit. He can shoot a little bit. There's a real lot to like about Pat McCaw. So despite the fact he was picked at pick 37th, he's not the 37th best rookie, and he's definitely not the 37th best rookie for fantasy. He is probably a top 20 asset, I'd say, at this point. Now, the problem is he's in Golden State. But as Iguodala starts to fade over the next season or two, McCaw will start to just chip away at those minutes. He could also be used as a trade piece at some point, but he's going to be a deeper league guy for the next probably 2 to 3 seasons, but he's going to be a stream option to get steals. He's that good at getting them. Not sure you want to be too invested in Ogun Kuzmic, and that's about all I've got to say about the Warriors. The Los Angeles Lakers, D'Angelo Russell, 26 points, 5 rebounds, an assist and a steal, super shooting. He looked lazy at times, but he's obviously too good for this level. I think he's going to be really good this season. He's got his concerns. His defense is literally piss poor, but they're not going to play Jose Calderon over him. He's not going to play Marcelo Huertas over him. They're going to give Russell a fairly big leash, and you're going to get potentially a top 50 season out of him. I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't draft him inside the top 50, but once we get to the 70s, he's on the board for me there. And again, I don't know where ADP data is going to come out at this point. I don't even know where my projections are going to come out with him. They might come out having him as 90th. I don't know. But I predict a pretty big rise in production from D'Angelo Russell. You know my thoughts on Ivica Zubac. He should be a starter on this team by the end of the year. It's not like Tim Mozgov has been great. And Mozgov will be better than a lot of people are thinking. But Zubac is the real deal. He will be a starter in the NBA at some point. He had 9-5 with 2 blocks in the game on Monday in just 20 minutes. He's got soft touch. He can block shots. He can grab rebounds. He can shoot high percentages. That's 5 categories he can contribute in. And that's plenty for fantasy. That's, you know, a 5 category contributor. Zubac is a name that you want to get involved with fantasy in a per 36 value for this season. He comes out at the moment as my second most valuable rookie. Again, this will all change when I really dig into it and look at it, but he's going to come out pretty high. Anthony Brown hasn't done much to show me he's a rotational player or anything like that, and Larry Nance, after a massive couple of games, had just an absolute pile of poo. 0 points, 4 rebounds. nothing there. The whispers were coming out, not from just from me, but from lots of knowledgeable people, that there is a chance that they like Nance more than Randall as a prospect. I've never been a Randall fan. You would have heard me talk about that plenty of times on the podcast, that I'm not a Julius Randall fan. Nance shows a lot more defensive versatility than what he does. Interesting to see how it works out. I'll tell you who's been disappointing is Brandon Ingram, and that's fine, but he's not going to have a good rookie season. Yeah, they're going to give him minutes, but he probably won't start. I think Luol Deng will start, and Ingram will be worked in and won't play 30 minutes. He'll get drafted, and he shouldn't. I don't think he finishes inside the top 100. I don't think he sniffs the top 100, to be honest. I think he's more likely a 160 sort of guy. He's too frail to get his shot off in summer league. He can't get positioned. He could be the best player in this draft class in 3 years' time. It's not going to be this year. So don't draft Ingram because he is for the Lakers or because he was the second pick. He's not going to have a very big impact this season at all. So don't get sucked into it. There's no one to talk about on the Cavs, really. Jordy McRae has been okay. Kay Felder, 15-4-3. They're going to be battling for minutes as that backup point guard-ish type of guy behind Mo Williams, but nothing really to talk about there. Rafael Putney has been okay. I don't think he's really an NBA player, though. 19-6 with 5 triples and 2 blocks is a great line, but I don't think that he is a legit NBA player. Let's talk Memphis. Let's talk Wade Baldwin, who is just sensationally impressive. 13-6, 2 assists, 1 steal, long arms. Monster dunk that he threw down that I was sitting in the front row right underneath. It was just rim-rattling. There's articles coming out comparing him to Westbrook. It's not crazy. He is that aggressive. He is just... Westbrook's aggressive. This guy is just as aggressive. He's getting in people's faces. He's screaming. He's throwing down with a band. He throws his body around. Yeah, Mike Conley's the starting point guard. They can play together for a bit. But by the time that Conley gets to his age 33, 34, he's not going to be better than Baldwin. I can pretty much guarantee that. And Baldwin is going to be a very interesting fantasy prospect in a couple of years' time. He looks superb at the moment. I'm really impressed. DJ Stevens, the best athlete I've almost ever seen. Some of the just go check the highlights. The putback dunk that he did against the Bucks was just out of control. He's not big, and he was just sensational. Andrew Harrison has also looked good. The play of Andrew Harrison led to Tony Roten getting waived. Now, I feel sorry for Tony Roten because he got waived on Christmas by the Sixers last season. He got signed by the Knicks to a 3-year deal, waived before playing a game, re-signed by the Grizzlies, waived again. So he's been waived by three teams and hasn't played a game. But he isn't good. How long have I said it for? Forever, since he's been in the league. He's not good. NBA teams realize he's not good. Don't hold on to Tony Roten. Don't hold hope for Tony Roten. He's done. I'll come and cheer him on when he's playing for Melbourne United in the NBL. He's not good. Andrew Harrison, 12-4-6. Yeah, he's showing enough to be a third-string point guard as a sort of a spark-pluggy scorer. He's not better than Baldwin, though. Baldwin should be the guy getting the minutes over Harrison. Miami Heat, Briante Weber is just an insane defender. Monday's game, he went 4-5-7 with 6 steals, which is obviously a pretty big number. Today, again, he was putting in some pretty solid defensive performances. He had another 5 steals today. He had 6 assists. He's not going to score, but he can dish the ball all right, and he can get a lot of steals. As a backup point guard in Miami, Tyler Johnson's going to be that guy. Joshie Richardson will also play a little bit there, although he'll be the starter of the two. But Briante Weber is going to be on the roster, and he's going to be a difference maker defensively. Rod Magruder is a guy that the Heat have signed. He had a nice game against the Nuggets. He looked pretty decent, scoring 23 points. Against the Suns today, he only played 6 minutes and had 2 points. He wasn't quite the same guy. Not much else really to talk about on the Heat. On the Nuggets, Juan Hernan Gomez, 14-12-5 with 2 steals. I really like Hernan Gomez. Kevin Pelton really likes him. I think that he is going to be a top 15 fantasy prospect out of this group. I think he has to go in the top 15. I would even consider him inside the top 10. I don't know if he's going to stick over this season, and he's not going to be a redraft player for this season, but he's got a ton of potential. I think he looks really good. And Jamal Murray is the second best player, third best player in this class, maybe fourth, depending on where you have Bender. 29 points, one rebound, two assists, two steals, two threes. Took a lot of shots, but showed a bit of ball handling skills. Dished a bit, got red hot. He's got a few things to work out of his game. Defense is a concern. And his role is not going to be great this season behind Gary Harris, who, again, Gary Harris is the starter in Denver. Gary Harris is legitimately really good, and he's going to play 30 minutes. Will Barton, legitimately not good. Fun, but not good. But he's still in the mix there. Malik Beasley, people really like Malik Beasley. Someone's going. Barton's the guy. Barton's going on this team. If they'd make a trade of Fareed, if they make a trade of Gallinari, Barton's going in there. And that's fine. He's on a nice contract, but he's not good. Murray is a guy that you're going to have to wait a few seasons. He's going to be a deeper league guy this year. Maybe a standard league guy for the last 2 months, but probably unlikely. And I think he's most likely the backup point guard on this team. Moutier is in for a big season, but the other guy's Jameer Nelson. I think that Jamal Murray is going to be that backup guy. Jakar Sampson, he's playing 11 minutes on a summer league team. He's really not good. Peter Cornelius has shown a couple of flashes, but not enough to make me think that he is going to make it onto the roster at the end of the season. Or at any point in the season, to be honest. I think that's it. I think that's all the games covered. Let's see if I covered all the questions that you guys have. What other questions did Tim have? He asked me about AJ Hammonds, Putney and Wood, Diallo. Yep, everyone wants to know about Diallo. I've talked about the Raptors guys. Who was the other questions? Oh, yeah, another question from about Diallo. All good. I think we're done for this one. Don't forget to check out Fantrax. Follow me on Twitter and subscribe on iTunes and leave a review, leave a ranking. That really does help the podcast grow. If you can leave a review and a ranking, it helps immensely. So thank you to everyone who has done that so far. Check out Basketball Monster. Again, I'll be working to have the projections out before the end of August. 1st of September is the official sort of release date, but we hopefully have them out before that then. Hardwood Paroxysm, great articles going out by my Hardwood Paroxysm compatriots who are here. We've got Keith, who's the host of the Fast Break Breakfast podcast, so check out his stuff. Carve Jam wrote some good stuff as well. Peter, I don't know how to say your name, Peter Nygaard, maybe. Jeff Siegel is here as well, writing some good stuff. A couple of other Hardwood Paroxysm, Jared Dubin, who hosts the podcast on Hardwood Paroxysm as well. Matt Moore, obviously, who is the founder of Hardwood Paroxysm, is here. There's so many guys that I've met, and it's been great meeting everyone here as well and having chats with lots of different people. I actually had a chat with Gary Harris the other day as well, just talking about what his plans were for the rest of the week. And as I mentioned, he played just the one game, and he is done for the rest of the week. Knockout portion of the tournament coming up now. Oh, excuse me. That's a signal to end the show. Oh, I just couldn't catch my breath there. We're done. That's it, everyone. Thank you. In fact, thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.